Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Good morning, Maggie.
Good morning.
Are you turning into a morning person now?
No, I want to be. I told you the other day I woke up at like 7:30. What did I even wake up for? Do you remember? Did I tell you?
You didn't mention it, but I think sometimes you just feel inspired.
Nope, that wasn't it. I woke up to film an audition that was due at 10. And then we had a work call at noon. And so between turning that in, I got a lot done that morning, and I would look at the clock and it wasn't even noon. I was like, wow, this just feels amazing. And then the next day, yesterday, I slept until like 11:30 because I stayed up till 2 a.m. watching Teen Wolf, which is something I hadn't done in a long time. Like, I hadn't watched Teen Wolf in a long time, and I also hadn't stayed up till 2 a.m. in a long time. So that like threw me for a loop. And then
you're getting older,
y'all. I did not go to sleep last night until like 3 a.m. because I didn't get home until like 2. So, and then I woke up for this at 7:30. So I've had like 5 hours of sleep.
Well, I think you're going to do great though. Sometimes when you're a little bit tired, you get that extra punchy energy and it's super fun. So you want to get started?
Let's go for it.
All right, roll the intro music.
Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos. Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos.
Hey guys, and welcome to our podcast, Mags and Dads, Wholesome Chaos, that my dad and I host together. I am Maggie.
I am Dan Thurman.
I'm Shay, Maggie's mom.
I didn't need the last name, I suppose.
It's okay.
We're all Thurmans. And then, of course,
Eddie.
Yay.
What's up, Eddie?
Hello.
Are the dogs in the studio right now?
No, they're in the house.
Oh, man.
So we should not be interrupted.
That's
what I had some good times with those dogs recently, man. I took them disc golfing yesterday and had a crazy cool experience because you know how much Simon especially loves disc golf. So much so when we say the words, do you want to go golfing? Like, he knows. He knows, I think most Sunday mornings, he just senses I'm going to go disc golfing and he's ready, you know?
Yeah.
And so yesterday, before I got home from the office, mom said to Simon, you know, what did you say exactly?
So you know how hard it is to get him to come inside. He wants to stay outside and he'll lay on the ground and he won't budge. And so I said, do you want to play golf with Dan? And he turned and trotted all the way back to the door. Like, he knew instantly.
Oh my goodness.
So he was excited, which got Spencer excited. He wasn't sure what was going on. It took a little bit for us to get out the door, but here's the thing. We went to a different course. Up until that point in Simon's life history, we'd always gone to one particular course where we know it's very dog friendly and we can let the dogs off leash. And I go with a certain group of friends, they have dogs. And so it's a very specific experience. Well, we started driving in the other direction and he just started getting so like anxious and like he didn't know what was going on. He's like, you're missing turns. So we're like, we're going the wrong way. And then we got there and it was different friends. We didn't have any other dogs. It was just those two. But, you know, suddenly the whole world opened up to him because now suddenly like a switch went off and he understands golf isn't just one particular place, but it's all these other places. And you can see his mind just kind of like imagining the possibilities of how many disc golf courses there might be out there in the world. And so
that's what was going on in his mind.
Oh, totally.
No, now.
Either that or he was smelling something. It was one of those two.
Yeah. No, that's really fun.
But mornings. Yeah, but you mentioned mornings and you said like when you got up early and you had so much done, the momentum of the day, you felt like a superhero is what you said, right?
Yeah, but man, getting up is so difficult sometimes. I set an alarm usually 30 minutes before I wake up. I use so many alarms. So if I have to wake up at 7:30, I'll set an alarm for like 7 and then 7:30. And then 8 just in case. Because it just, it takes me a while to get up, but I use alarms for everything. I feel like you and mom have noticed that, right? When we're just like chilling around the house, an alarm will go off and it'll say something random mm-hmm. to remind me to do something. Because I've tried to use mm-hmm. the reminders on a phone before, and it just, it doesn't remind you at the right time usually. And I need something to just like kind of jolt me and be like, go do your homework or something like that. But I actually...
Bello Knock is notorious for that. He does like 20 alarms a day, everything, you know, all these different appointments.
Yeah. Yeah. And oh my gosh, some of them are so random. A lot of them are nighttime thoughts that I get, like when I'm going to bed, and I'll get an idea and I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, I need to remember that. So I'll just reach over and be like, set an alarm for noon called like whatever the idea is. And then it'll go off the next day and I will be like, what was I talking about? Like sometimes it makes absolutely no sense to me. But I went through kind of this morning. I started counting and then I kind of estimated due to some math proportions on how many alarms I have on my phone. Guess how many total alarms I have on my phone? I've like ever set.
You mean that you've ever set?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
You can look at your phone to see how many you've set for an idea.
No, it's okay. I'll just take a guess. Mom said 30.
I said 37.
I'll say it's more than 37. I'll say it's 50.
Oh, I was going to say it's 51. Okay. That's my guess.
Okay, so Eddie's the highest guest?
Yes.
I have over 1,200 alarms on my phone. And they like all have different names. I have ones wow. from literally from summer camp, some at like 5 a.m. to wake me up to remind me to text a kid's mom when I was like a counselor. And then they're so random. Oh my gosh. I'll have to like read some at some point. But man, yeah, that blew my mind a little bit. I thought it was going to be like maybe 500, and then it was wow. over 1,000.
So those are specific reminders for specific events.
Sometimes.
Yeah, that's a lot. You might have a problem, Maggie.
Well, no, it really does help me because sometimes I'll just tell my phone, like set an alarm for 8 a.m. and it'll turn one on that's already on. It doesn't always create a new one if I don't specify to name it something. So there is that. But no, how do you wake up? Do you set alarms?
Yes. Well, I do. I don't have to set alarms anymore unless there's a specific thing I'm getting up for. If it's a flight or something like that, having an alarm gives me peace of mind to know I can go to sleep. But as soon as the alarm goes off, I'm out of bed. Like I don't snooze alarms. And this is something I decided to do from when I was fairly young. You know, in my family, we had the 9 o'clock rule, which meant, yeah. you know, you can't be in bed any later than 9 o'clock a.m. You could stay out late. You could stay up late. But it's on you because you're getting up at 9 o'clock. And we tried to enforce that in our family for a while, but it didn't go over so well.
You enforced it for like all of high school until quarantine, you enforced it.
Yeah.
And then you guys were in college. Yeah. So it was all through your, you know, childhood.
But when the alarm goes off, I get excited. I really do. I get out of bed quickly and I get moving sometimes before I'm awake and I just kind of get on with my day. Because for me, I feel like, you know, the magic of productivity or feeling good about your day is it's like a wave. And if you are on the front edge of the wave, then you're making the decisions and choices about where your day's going to go and you can put in some time. And if I get stuff done in the morning before other people are up, like I feel good about that. Like I got something extra done and it gives me like some cushion for the rest of the day. But if I wake up and there's already like messages on my phone or people, you know, expecting things of me, or I feel like I'm running late, then it's kind of like the whole day you're going to feel that way. It's hard to catch up. So yeah, that's the way I feel about getting up. And that's why I love mornings so much.
I love waking up to messages.
You love waking up to messages?
Yeah. It's so exciting. It's like, who's trying to talk to me?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, there could be a lot of people trying to talk to you. And if you feel like you might be in need of someone to talk to about anything in your life, any issues that might be going on in terms of what you're thinking about, anything that might be preventing your full happiness, we've got great news for you because this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp.
We talk about BetterHelp a lot on this podcast, and this month we're discussing some of the stigmas around mental health. For example, some people think that you should wait until things are absolutely unbearable until you go to therapy, but that just isn't true. Therapy is a tool to utilize before things get worse, so it can help you avoid those lows.
Many people think therapy is for so-called crazy people, but therapy doesn't mean something's wrong with you. It means you recognize that all humans have emotions, and we need to learn to control them, not avoid them.
I know personally that sometimes when things are just so intense in your life or things are building up, what makes me feel better instantly is talking to someone about it. And a lot of the times with your situations in life, you can't just talk to anyone about it. You need a professional who's unbiased and who can really help you through those situations. And it can be so helpful.
I know exactly what you mean, Maggie. And BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to.
It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with the therapist in under 48 hours.
So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Mags and Dad's Wholesome Chaos listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/wholesome. That's BetterHelp.com/wholesome.
Yep. You know, and Maggie, we're coming up on another holiday. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, which is a happy, wonderful time for a lot of people.
Yeah, and,
but like
people.
All holidays, it could be, like you said, you know, it could be the other side of it. And you might be experiencing a sense of loneliness or, you know, wondering who your special someone in life might be, or maybe going through a breakup. I don't know whatever it may be, but might be another instance where we could benefit from having therapy in our lives.
Yeah.
What are you going to be doing on Valentine's Day?
Man, you know, I have a few days, so maybe something will happen and I'll get swept off my feet and I will fall madly in love in, what, like 3 days? unlikely, but possible.
I've seen it in the movies.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And you are in the movies, so like it could totally happen.
I've realized I'm 19 years old. I'll be 20 in a few months. And I've never had a Valentine's Day when I've been in a relationship. Like I've just never had that experience. And I'm kind of bummed about that. Like I think that would be so fun. I don't think I've ever really gone through holidays in a relationship, actually. I also, side note, haven't been in that many relationships. but yeah, no, that's something I'm definitely looking forward to. So if not this year, then maybe next year. But I think I've always also wanted to go to like a Lonely Hearts party. I think that would be really fun. Or sad. I don't know. That's also something I've seen in movies. What about you? Do you have a favorite Valentine's Day? Anyone in the room?
Have you ever done the Galentine's?
Galentine's? What's that, honey?
Galentine's.
Oh, yeah.
Steph does it with her friends. Yeah, where girls get together and they celebrate Valentine's Day, you know, as girlfriends and just, you know, do movies, popcorn, whatever.
Yeah, I did that in high school a few times. I remember that. We did little, like, fun dinner days at a friend's house and, like, made cookies and everything like that. And that was cute.
So Eddie's Valentine is long distance still. Unfortunately. And so do you guys do anything to celebrate those occasions?
Sometimes we'll write each other cards.
Aww.
And yeah, I don't think we do anything super special on Valentine's Day. I don't know. We might just share our favorite things about being long distance and our least favorite things.
Your favorite things.
Yeah.
And what about you, honey? Do you want to do anything special? Take you out to dinner, buy you 2 dozen roses, pull up to the horse in a hot horse-drawn carriage, pull up to the house?
Don't think so. I am not the romantic type, which is good in a way.
I love the fact
that you're
not the romantic type.
A lot of money and pressure, exactly. I'm pretty easy. I mean, to me, my favorite kind of thing is staying home, watching movies, and doing foot massage. So,
okay. Yep.
So basically every day is Valentine's Day in our house.
Wait. No, I thought about it. I wasn't really in a relationship with this person over Valentine's Day, but it was like, I guess the starting stages. And remember, Mom, this boy sent me roses. He sent me like a dozen beautiful colored roses. They're like all different colors. And my mom has a video of it. And I remember it because in the video, I'm like, oh my goodness. And that was when like the emotions were really kind of starting for me, I guess. And mom in the video just goes, oh no. She was like, oh man, like this is it. So I remember that was cute.
But I recognize this person.
Yeah, it's the only person I've really been in a relationship with.
Okay. So speaking of theater kids, you said you have a theater kid theory.
I do have a theater kid theory. And I've told a few people about this. But it's just so interesting to me that I have a theory that practically everyone in the entertainment industry was a theater kid. Like even set designers and people who aren't necessarily like in front of the camera or like TikTokers. Oh my gosh, you would be so surprised about all the TikTokers that were theater kids. But because like you get that love for the arts and it starts there. But there's also like this.
Well, you get addicted to attention. It starts there.
I don't know. I mean,
let's be honest.
I've always just loved the art of storytelling. Like, I think that's so cool to be able to take people along on a story with you and like get out of their own heads for a little bit. That's like, I remember even as a kid, like just being like, I just want to tell stories for the rest of my life. But like the amount of people who like, that's where they got that spark for, I want to entertain people. Is so interesting to me because at least when I was in high school, and I feel like this is still a thing, that there's a little bit of a stigma around theater kids that like, oh, like not the theater kids, like, you know, kind of like a more on the weird side or whatever. Not the super popular group. But wait till they're out of high school and man, they really shine.
At least they're not band kids.
I was both.
Band kids are awesome.
How many instruments did I go through in band?
The tuba, was that the first one?
I think tuba was the first one, then oboe, then clarinet, then percussion. It was a fun time. I wasn't that great.
No, but meanwhile you took piano lessons privately.
Yeah.
And then piano lessons, you said, I want to learn guitar. And so then you started doing guitar lessons.
Guys, I was so good at getting out of piano lessons of like doing what I was supposed to do when I hadn't practiced all week. I don't even really remember how I did it, but
you were monologuing.
Yeah.
And that's why you didn't like to go to John for piano, because he wouldn't let you. You couldn't get away with as much with him.
Well, but John monologued. That was
yeah. What? Wait.
But John monologued about music.
There you go. Bit
when he would teach.
That's the thing. You just got to get him started.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You just got him started. And then you know, okay, now I don't have to play anything.
So yeah, I learned.
Piano lessons isn't just showing up for the lesson. It's about doing the work. That's what lessons are all about. Like, and then showing your teacher what you've actually done in between, like being in the mindset, like, I want to impress my teacher by how hard I've worked.
Yeah.
And you know, you never got that. I don't think Eddie got that until guitar.
Yeah. It was the like exact same thing for me. I would just like kill time, try to get the teachers talking, like, I don't know, go off topic. It just to, I don't know, not play.
But here's the thing. Through those lessons, I think Eddie and I both learned a lot about communication and manipulation. We just didn't learn how to play piano.
Yes, you were going to piano to develop people skills.
Exactly.
See? It all works out. Okay, so I'm going to give you an option here, Maggie. So would you rather was so much fun last week when you presented that would you rather question. I actually have a list of 100 would you rather questions.
Okay.
You can pick a random number between 1 and 100. We could pick one of those, or we can go to some of the questions from the audience. There's only two this week that I pulled out for us to look at.
Okay, so, let's do like maybe two would you rathers. So
okay, so Eddie, okay, you want to start, Maggie? You pick a number, and then Eddie picks the next number.
Okay, one.
One.
I'll make
one.
It easy.
I didn't think you were going to pick one.
Nobody ever does. Nobody guesses that you're okay. Going to pick one or 100.
One's actually a good one.
Okay.
Would you rather go into the past and meet your ancestors, or go into the future and meet your great-grandchildren? Great-great-grandchildren.
Ooh. Someone else go, I'm thinking.
I think I would rather go into the future and meet my great-great-grandchildren just to see what things are like in the future. So it's more really about the future than it is about the family ancestry.
Yeah, I think I'd do the same because I'd want to see the future, what's going on.
See, I don't know if I want to see the future. I'm personally a little scared. I'm going to say past, actually. I think it's cool to see where you came from. Yeah.
I could see both sides of this one, but for me, I'm really interested in our ancestry, especially in Poland. And so that to me would be super cool to go back to see where my, you know, great, great, great grandparents lived in the old country and how they lived.
Yeah.
I think it would change my view of what we're going through in a big, big way. Okay, Eddie, pick a number.
37.
37. I knew you'd say that. And by the way, just to give a little bit of credit where credit is due, I'm pulling this list from Sign Up Genius, and it's authored by Janice Meredith. So Janice, thank you for putting this list together
for us. And we learned today that Sign Up Genius isn't a place just that geniuses can sign up.
Yeah, it's a lot of things. So here it is. You ready? Would you rather have a 10-hour dinner with a headstrong politician from an opposing party or attend a 10-hour concert for a music group you detest?
I would do the politician, I would say, because I always find it interesting to talk with people of differing views and try to come to some sort of reconciliation or agreement, even if it's agree to disagree. I'd much prefer that than 10 hours of music.
I would say politician as well. I really enjoy having conversations with people who have differing opinions than me. Honestly, like, how does anyone on any side of anything expect anything to change if they don't have conversations? So I think
that's a good point.
I think that'd be really interesting to just, like, I think what we forget a lot of the times is, like, at the end of the day, everyone's people. Like, you could be arguing with someone on the internet, or, like, I know it's really easy when you're in, like, road rage or whatever to forget that, like, in that car is just a person. And I think that applies to, like, politics as well. Whereas, like, if we just get down to the people of it, then we can have better conversations.
Yeah. You know, being on boards of directors and serving with people, like, for years at a time who are very different in terms of our, you know, viewpoints or the way we see things in the world, it's way more than 10 hours. I'm telling you, it's like hundreds of hours in multiple meetings over long periods of time. And what happens is you do develop an appreciation for the person. I remembered a quote that I learned at some point along the way. I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said, "I really don't like that man. I must get to know him better."
Mm.
Which was the idea that I'm only seeing the superficial. I'm only seeing the things that maybe annoy me or point at something in my character that's different. But once I get to know them, then clearly I'll feel differently.
Yeah.
Plus, bad music is just bad music. Yeah. Right, Eddie?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the politician, too. You guys kind of already said it all, but, like, yeah, learning
the other side. You had the 10 hours of bad music in one of your Berklee classes, right?
Yeah, so I don't need to do that again. I think I've, yeah, kind of earned a pass on this one, I think. But
10 weeks of music that, yeah.
Yeah.
We won't talk about that. I'm sure they're wonderful people.
Yes, they are, yes.
Okay, so moving on, you want a question?
Let's go for a question, yeah.
Okay, let's get into some meaty topics here. Hi, I've listened to your podcast since episode 1 and follow your TikTok. I was wondering how you switch off and relax because I am 14, living in the UK, and coming up on GCSEs. Just pause right there one quick moment and I'll tell you exactly what that means because I looked it up. GCSE stands for General Certificate of Secondary Education. It's an academic qualification in a particular subject taken in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland. So basically, like, you know, your exams, your OWLs, if you're a Harry Potter fan, right? And state schools in Scotland use the Scottish qualification certificate instead. Okay. So back to the question. Whenever I relax, for example, watching TV or going on TikTok, I tend to feel guilty or not being able to switch off my mind. Is there anything you would suggest? That's from Michelle.
Well, the fact that being on a screen makes you not shut your mind off. You're plugged in. So unplugging is how I turn my mind off.
Not necessarily, though. I feel like a lot of the times when we need to relax, we like turn on a show.
Right. Yeah. I think if you're engaged in a film or a series or something like that, that allows you to relax. But I think social media, I don't think is a relaxing media. I don't think TikTok and, going on Instagram, Facebook, any YouTube, you can get sucked into other things that just dart your mind all over the place and you're not relaxed. And I understand you feel guilty because after 45 minutes or an hour or 2 hours of that, you're like, wow, what did I just do with my time? Whereas I think, to your point, Maggie, out watching a show, you can unwind, you can laugh, or you can just disengage for a while.
When you're watching a single story or you're reading a novel or something like that, then you're being taken along on a journey, but you still feel very settled. You still feel very comfortable. Whereas social media is constantly changing. I had the same thought. And so I did some research on that and I kind of looked up some scientific qualities about social media. And it said it's basically not relaxing to the brain at all. And it could focus your attention in one way, but it also scatters your attention in a number of other ways. And there have been a lot of studies done that heavy social media users actually perform worse on cognitive tests, especially those that have to do with our ability to focus or our ability to multitask. And there was one site in particular, we'll put the link in the show notes on this one, where they had several different scientific studies that were done on the negative effects of social media by those who use it a lot, or quite a bit. One had to do with comparison, the whole idea of the fear of missing out on what others are doing and how others are living and just the fact that we all only see the best of each other on social media, which you've talked about, Maggie, quite a bit. There was a line by Theodore Roosevelt, I think, comparison is the thief of joy. So that was one of the things. And then just, the addiction to the dopamine that you get from constantly scrolling through a feed and just the effect on your attention. So not to turn this into a bashing of social media, but to your point, the question is how do you relax and unwind? And I would say that would probably not be it. How do you relax and unwind?
Go Eddie first. I'm looking something up.
So I think for me, I'll open TikTok or watch a YouTube video, but I think something that helps for me is I just kind of take breaks whenever I finally hit a point where I'm doing something where I just either get like frustrated or I just feel like I don't want to do it anymore. And then I just say like, I'll give myself like 10 minutes, 15 minutes to do something else and then come back, which helps a lot. And usually I'll pair that with like, so I'll go on TikTok or watch a YouTube video, but I'll also like, I'll grab a snack or get up and move to another room. I think like going into another space for that, especially like if you're eating, it really helps make it feel like a break, feel like you're unwinding and that you're giving yourself time. And then once that time's over, you just, go back to it. And I feel like that's pretty effective.
Yeah, that is an effective idea, is that you take a break from the physical space that you're in. You can even go outside, get fresh air, make sure you're getting hydrated, eating well, stretching. My answers are all going to be about movement. Do you have something for us, Maggie?
You'll go play frisbee golf for a break. I like to go read for a while, or I will watch a show, like a movie or a few episodes of a show, because that does really unwind me and make me feel relaxed and recovered, especially if I have to get back to editing or some other projects and stuff. That a solid 2 hours of I'm not going to work, because I am a workaholic, entertainment or reading. I love to read.
Mm. So.
Yeah, I remember I saw a TikTok that was a girl talking about something her therapist actually told her, where she kind of was talking about a similar thing, where like she felt no motivation to do anything, and like she just felt so guilty over it. Like her whole day, it was like she wasn't doing anything, and she couldn't, like she never felt rested. And something her therapist told her was that if your mind is spending its whole day guilting you over something, then you're not resting. You're fully engaged in doing something. You're fully engaged in doing something that's detrimental to you, actually. And that's like hindering you from being productive, because it's weighing you down. And I thought that was a really interesting point, because as someone who has an unconventional job, I don't work a 9-to-5. I work a 24/7. Like, your brain doesn't stop. I saw another TikTok that was talking about this, where they were saying, you know, for everyone who wants to be a content creator, let me just let you in on a little secret. Yeah, it's not a 9-to-5, it's 24/7. And they're talking about how they don't have a conversation without someone anymore, without their brain thinking, okay, well, is there content in here? Or you watch a movie and immediately your first thought is, oh, is there's something here, right? Like there's a sketch here that I need to do. And it's like you never stop thinking. And that can be so draining. So, circling back to your question of having those designated periods of rest, and for me what it is a lot of the times I use a timer because I know I'm not going to go over, and I know the exact amount of time that I'm going to spend not thinking about something else. So maybe I'll do 15 minutes or 30 minutes of like just a quiet time, or I find that when I'm making food, I feel pretty relaxed because it's like one of those things of, well, I have to make food. I have to eat, so I'm going to stop working and I'm going to solely do this. Maybe I'll turn on a show during it, and finding those moments of rest.
That's really great. Yeah, you can actually rest in an activity like cooking. I do the same thing.
Or walking, yeah.
Or walking, as long as that's what you're doing and you're completely present in that moment and that activity. You know, the notion of multitasking is actually... This is something I talk about in my speeches a lot, so I know you guys have all heard it, but we don't really multitask in the sense that people think about it. Like, I'm so productive because I'm doing 6 different things all at once. You're not really doing 6 different things all at once. You're doing what's called a quick switch, where your brain is alternating between one thing and the next thing, and you're switching and turning on and off the circuitry of your mind to bring your attention and focus to different things at different moments. But you can't think 2 thoughts at once. And so that in and of itself puts you in a state of a little bit of a frenzy. You're kind of creating your own chaos because you're having to keep track of multiple elements, which can be really fun and rewarding. And the more you do it, the better you get at that concept of the quick switch or multitasking. But it is also very, very draining when you can immerse yourself in one activity, even if it's, you know, relaxing, meditating, or something fun and very purposeful and focused and high energy. Believe it or not, I get really energized and focused while mountain unicycling. Like one of my favorite things, you know, when I'm in the woods, because that's all you can think about is just that skill. And so it brings your focus to that point. That's really important. And then, you know, the last thing that came to my mind was when you have days like that where you feel overwhelmed and you feel like you're never going to get to the end of your list, you've got to be thinking about prioritization. There's one thing that if you got that one thing done and nothing else, it's still a good day. And for all of us, that one thing is, I didn't do anything to harm myself. I didn't do anything to backtrack on some of my maybe goals and initiatives. You know, I remember when I first decided to stop drinking, you know, or other behaviors or habits that I've tried to change. In the beginning, that takes a lot of your commitment and focus. And you have days like, as long as I got through today without backsliding, it's a good day. I'm okay with that, you know? Yeah. But again, that's way more than you asked for in your question, Michelle. Hopefully there was something in there that you found useful and helpful. I have a question for you, Maggie.
Okay.
Something I've been thinking about, and I haven't asked you this ahead of time. So if you don't want to answer it on the podcast, that's okay. But in thinking about your acting, because right now your acting career is gaining some traction, and gaining some momentum, you know, knock on wood, but you've got some more auditions coming in and some exciting things happening, and you did your movie. And so there's going to come a point where an acting audition that comes in, or a part that's offered to you, or something, there's going to be this intersection and conflict between maybe your values or your sensibilities about life and the job. What are you going to do when that happens? Have you thought about that?
I've been thinking about that since I was like 8 years old, and the first time I went to LA on an acting trip, and this lady...
I'm very glad to hear that.
Oh my gosh, what was her name? I think her name is Rachel Gillespie. She was like a casting director who we were introduced to or whatever on this trip I was on, and she introduced us to this thing called a no line. And she said, like, N-O line. She's like, you need to know your no line. And I really do appreciate this conversation. It is kind of funny looking back at it. Okay, I was like 12. I wasn't 8. But this lady telling us, like, you need to decide what level of nudity you're okay with. And, like, then again, we're like 12. But it is important because Hollywood's wild, man. And a lot of the times, like, once you're 18, it opens a lot of doors and a lot of questions that you have to ask. And so I could literally find in journals, like, dating back to 10 years ago, different lists. And of course, my lists have changed over the year with what I'm comfortable with. And I still stand by it. But at the end of the day, like, I know what I'm comfortable with. And we talked about this. Mom and I filmed an audition the other day where there was a lot of cussing in it, which I'm totally fine with. Like if I'm a character and that's the character's state, then I'm okay with that accurate portrayal of that character. However, like, personally, and like my personal beliefs and like religious beliefs, I'm not comfortable like saying the Lord's name in like a derogatory way, like saying like Jesus Christ in a manner that is supposed to tear people down or like stuff like that. And so literally there's been auditions and stuff where I'll just like change, like I just like won't say it in the script. And if they don't want to cast me for that, or if like that's totally fine. Like, I'm 100% okay with that. Yes, I have things that I'll pass on because at the end of the day, like, I know there'll be other things, and I'd rather not put something out there that can be forever out there that I'm not comfortable with. Did that answer the question? I feel like I went on a little bit of a tangent.
It answered it really well for me.
Yeah, I think it was really funny. when I was going to a set, I was a little nervous, and Dad, you told me, you said, just be yourself. I was like, no, I'm not supposed to be myself. That's the whole thing. I mean, that's something we kind of joke about now. Like, just be yourself, except when you're pretending to be someone else, then don't be yourself. And that's
right.
That's, to me, that's a really important thing to remember, is I can justify doing something as a character that I would never do in real life, because it is that. It's a character. It's a story that's not your own. And I think it's a very cool thing to step into those roles within limits.
And then finding something that's true, even in that character.
Connection.
That's true for you.
Yeah.
Right?
You learn
because
from
in order to play it well.
Yeah, you learn from the characters you play. You truly do.
That's a very interesting thing. Okay. Shay, pick a number.
I was going to choose 37 also. So
no, you weren't.
I was. Like when he started going, and I'm thinking 37, he goes 30, and I'm like, 7. He said 37.
I feel like that's the number everyone
that's
always
crazy.
Picks.
The number of presents that Dudley got year before he flipped out, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
That's crazy. Some of these are a little bigger than the others.
He said.
Well, there's literally 97 numbers we haven't done yet. So
okay. Well, we were talking about Valentine's Day. I'm going to choose 14.
No.
Which is 14. Also my Aunt Linda's birthday.
Would you rather be stuck on a broken ski lift or in a broken elevator?
I think either would be really fun, actually.
Elevator, 100% for me. Maybe because I saw a horror movie of people getting stuck on a ski lift. But that, it's cold and scary and uncomfortable, dangerous.
Yeah. And where are you on the ski lift? You know, did you just take off where you can like jump down, or are you in the middle? Did all of you see that TikTok of the lady stuck on the ski lift and the fire hydrant opened up and was just spraying on her for like minutes and minutes? Yeah.
Did she turn into a popsicle?
Dude, I don't know. I don't even want to joke about it because I don't even know if she's okay. I think people said like they finally got paramedics, but I don't even know how you would breathe up there. That's so scary. So on that note, ski lift.
I would choose ski lift because if you were in an elevator that was really high, I would be terrified of it falling.
Yeah.
Like if it was like two or three floors, I'd be like, oh, this is cool. I wonder if we can climb through, you know, like in Alias and every other show.
We're watching
Alias right now.
No, but you could so fall on a ski lift too from really high up.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe actually I changed it
to
elevator.
Well, I'm the one who always pulls the bar down.
Well, yeah, but what if the ski lift falls?
Like, Mom. Yeah, exactly.
Or what if it's night? I mean, it's hard.
Is it 10 hours on a ski lift or 10 hours in an elevator?
Tricky question. That's a good one.
What's your answer, Dan?
Initially, it was ski lift because I like, you know, being outdoors, and I think the view would be better.
If you had to go to the bathroom,
have less of a fear of heights than I do have of a claustrophobia kind of thing. I don't like being stuck in a, well, I guess either way you're stuck is the whole point. But yeah, going to the bathroom in either instance would be awkward.
it would be a little bit better on the ski lift for sure.
Better on the ski lift for sure. But
really?
Yeah, you made a case for an elevator.
Oh man.
Well, yeah, no, but then you're still, never mind.
We're moving
never
on.
Mind.
Moving on.
We're moving on. I'm going to pick a number. Or no. Yeah, because did you pick one? Yeah,
I did.
I'm the last
37.
One. 37. Okay. 37. No. I'm going to pick the number 64.
Ooh.
I knew he was going to say that.
I'm going to pick a different number.
I knew he was going to do that.
Would you rather have your first child when you're 18 or 40?
40.
40.
18.
God, you just so you'd have a play friend, you know?
I just love kids. I always wanted to be a dad. Even when I was younger, I was like, can't wait to be a dad. It's going to be so awesome. Would you rather be 4'5" or 7'7"?
4'5".
That's hard.
That is hard because when you think about traveling, boy, being big is probably super uncomfortable. I wouldn't know, but
I like being little.
But it's nice to be able to see when you're taller. You can kind of see like what's happening over there. Mm. Yes, the tall people.
But you don't blend in either instance, I guess.
That's true.
All right, Maggie. This is from Emma N. Who is your favorite character on New Girl? And specifically, she's asking you, Maggie, but I think we can open it up to Shay and Eddie too. Emma says she's been listening to the podcast since day one, and I love it. Thanks you for always being a fun part of the week. Well, we love that, Emma.
I actually don't think I can answer this question because originally my first thought was Nick, but then I was like, no, Schmidt. Then I was like, don't count out Winston because Winston in the earlier series, or like the writers, I don't think knew who Winston was going to be. And so you slowly see him develop over the series to be a precious jewel that you love. And so.
Interesting that you went for the guys, all three guys.
Oh my gosh, because the dynamic is so fun. The dynamic is so good.
I still don't know the show. I've never watched it. Like I've seen shows and episodes, but I don't know the characters.
You should go watch it. Mom, can you get on that?
Yeah, totally.
Thank you.
I mean, I totally agree. I couldn't pick a favorite, but yeah, I went to Nick because, you know, he's...
Because you love Nick.
He's Nick. Yeah.
You want to marry Nick, but you...
I would totally marry Nick.
Sorry, Dad.
But Winston would be a blast too. Schmidt, never. I don't even think I would date
Schmidt. Oh my gosh, but Schmidt would be like my best friend.
Oh, like you'd have to invite him to every party just because he'd be so weird and fun.
No, I love Schmidt. Just weird. Oh, yeah. You know who I also left out of the mix that I love is Allie. Winston's if you haven't watched this, then never mind. Like if you're in the earlier seasons, but you know who I'm talking about, Mom. I love Allie.
Oh, at work, she's the cop.
Yeah,
yeah, She's too cool though.
Now she's
no votes for Jess.
Jess is like the anchor of the show.
Yeah, she'd have to be my favorite.
I do love Jess though. There would be no new girl without Jess. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of the times people hate on her. I've gotten in arguments with people before because they're like, oh, Jess is annoying. I'm like, okay, everyone's annoying. That's what makes this interesting.
Yeah.
So justice for Jess, honestly. Like, stop crapping on her. She did great.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's so fun.
Eddie, do you have an opinion?
Not really, because I haven't seen enough of the show. I think I've only seen like 4 or 5 episodes.
Oh my goodness, guys.
It's awesome. Oh, we watched a couple episodes together. I remember.
It's like literally my favorite show
right now.
I'll probably end up watching it through with Morgan or something, because I do really like it.
Do it. It's an amazing example of how important like individual characters are working together to create. It's an ensemble piece, essentially. Like, you know what I mean? Kind of like The Office and stuff like that. But it just goes to show that like good characters make good stories, and like they're just so entertaining to watch for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah. You know, your dad and I have been watching Alias, which was 2001. I don't know how I never watched the show before, but Jennifer Garner, do you know how much of the stunts she does herself?
I'm guessing a lot because dad told me I need to get percentage. Into martial arts.
Yeah, I said to Maggie, like, you need to like study martial arts at some point in your acting career. If you're successful, you're going to be in fight scenes and you want them to look legit.
Okay, well, give me a guess, Dan. We've been watching. We're on episode 22 of season 1. What is your guess on the percentage of stunts she does herself? She does have a stunt double.
Do we have a proof of this fact?
Yes.
I would say 60%.
Have you seen the show, Eddie?
No, but I know the number because you told me.
I'm going to say 85. I haven't seen the show. I just want to be involved.
Well, she is a total baddie. 98%. Wow. And that information came from her stunt double who said it was her. No, I'm sorry. Was it 98 or 99?
It was 98%.
98% of her own stunts. Amazing.
Well, she was Elektra. She was in Daredevil. She was in Peppermint. Have you seen Peppermint?
I can't believe I haven't.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
She is a baddie.
She is. She's like my new favorite female actress of all time.
Wow.
Total respect. I mean, she can do comedy. She can do action better than I can. Can you think of anybody who can do action more consistently better? It's not like a one and done film. It's like every week she's got to, you know, beat up people and take a zillion punches. It's pretty impressive.
Man.
Well, thank you, Emma, for opening up that interesting dialogue between our family. And yeah, I'm glad it wasn't like, who is the least favorite member of your family? That would have been a much more difficult question.
Yeah. And now we got to wrap this up ASAP because all of us have to go watch TV after talking about it for this long.
Yeah,
I think so. So with that in mind, we want to start by thanking you so much for listening to this podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope it was beneficial in your life. And we just all are so grateful for the chance to be with you. We would love to hear specific questions or concerns or topics about your life that you'd like us to talk about. You can go to wholesomechaos.com to submit those and to check us out there.
You can check out our other socials. It's Dan Thurman and Maggie Thurman on everything, except my dad on TikTok is Maggie's dad 123. My brother is the Eddie Thurman on Instagram and Eddie_Thurman on Twitch. Did I get it right? Did I get everyone right?
Yes.
And my mom is underground, undercover. And
she's undercover, like Jennifer Garner. She's in Alias. She's not even really your mom. No, wait, that didn't. What?
Oh. I was saying she's undercover. You can't find her, but she does have like over 100,000 followers on TikTok.
That's awesome. We should both post more content. Honey, would you do a dance with me? She just, that's what I want for Valentine's Day. I want you to do a TikTok dance with me.
Oh my gosh. That's like when, for your birthday, I like edit your TikToks. All righty. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We hope to see you guys here next week. Tell a friend about our show. Listen in, subscribe, all that. And yeah.
All right. Love you, Maggie.
Love you guys.
Love you, Eddie. Love you, honey.
Love you guys.
And we all love you, everyone. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Fight choreography. That would be fun. That's and so Maggie, fun. Do you remember doing that with Seneca?
Yeah.
That was brilliant. We need to share that on TikTok.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.